All right, greetings to a Teach Others Also session. If you have a Bible, turn to Jeremiah in your Bible, please. There are other places we could look, but I'm going to focus, center some verses out of Jeremiah. My subject matter is uncovering the Christian conservative talking heads. And professing Christians are so gullible that they have gotten to the point where they have even helped fund and keep in business these so-called Christian conservative talking heads, is what I call them. Now, I realize on radio they're just a talking voice, talking mouth, but of course, so they can get themselves to be just like the rest of the world, they're doing their online television stuff while they broadcast and their different networks and all that kind of stuff. Then if you're one of them, if you've got any guts at all, just listen. And if I'm wrong, you can rejoice that I'm wrong, but you won't know if I'm right or wrong if you don't listen. For example, Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 12, they have belied the Lord and said, "It is not He. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine, and the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them, thus shall it be done unto them." And so what they're going to do is they're going to convince people that what's going on is because of the left and all that sort of stuff, when it's actually of the Lord. Look at chapter 5, verse 30. "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land." Verse 31. "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so, and what will you do in the end thereof?" Look at chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, pick it up in verse 13. "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, 'We will not walk therein.' Also I set watchmen over you, saying, 'Hearken to the sound of the trumpet.' But they said, 'We will not hearken.'" These folk today would have you think that the old paths has something to do with the Constitution of the United States, or the old paths has something to do with your so-called Bill of Rights if you're an American, and any other parallel to it anywhere in the world. But according to your Bible, God didn't send people to do that sort of thing. And if you'll read the book of Jeremiah, you'll have an eye-opener when it comes to what God says about His people. And by the way, America is not His people. No nation, England's not His people. Australia's not His people. Germany's not His people. Only God's people are His people. So much so that in the Old Testament, none of the other nations were asked to abide by the things that God told His people to abide by. So if I'm wrong, just hang in there and listen, and you'll be able to rejoice. But if I'm right, look at chapter 7, verse 3. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." What place? To the Jew, He's talking about the promised land. So to the Christian, He's not talking about any nation, physical nation on earth. He's talking about your Christian life. "Trust ye not in lying words." Jeremiah 7, verse 4. "Trust ye not in lying words, saying, 'The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these.'" No, you are. You are. Not the White House. Not your state congressman, not your state representatives, not your local government. None of those things are the temple of the Lord. "For if ye truly amend your ways and your doings, if ye truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit." Now listen, brother and sister, and this is for believers. This won't help a lost person at all. Lord knows it may scarcely help a believer, unless they want help. But let me say this to you, if you're a believer. God's promise to you from the time of the Lord Jesus Christ to the time of the catching away of the church. And by the way, most of these talking heads today are awe or post-millennialist or worse, because they don't even really know. They just literally, they play Scrabble theology. They take a bunch of doctrines, throw it in a bag, and shake it up, and whatever comes out is according to what they do. And the problem you have, brethren, the problem you have, friends, come to Jeremiah 23, by way of introduction still. Proverbs 23. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. And let me say this to you. Verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken of them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, and it caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from their evil doings, the evil of their doings. These people have a great influence. They're misusing their influence for their own sake, and we'll talk about that. He says, verse 23, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, are they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. See, you can think and imagine and conjure up and take words and argue about them all you want. That doesn't mean a thing to God. Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The God of modern Christian conservative talking head media has no resemblance to the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They have no resemblance whatsoever. Verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Do you know that we who have the Bible and the truth, we're to keep on. We've got to keep on regardless of these folks and regardless of those who are just numbly and dumbly following after them. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And you can go on down and read on through it. Here's the thing. You've got to make up your mind to follow the Bible and be willing to receive truth. I want to make some points and reveal some things and compare them with Scripture on uncovering the Christian conservative talking heads. Number one, these folk claim light. They claim light. That's the first point. They claim light. They would have you to believe that they are full of light. For example, one of his great statements is, hear it today and you'll hear it from the others next month or later on. He's got this great light and looking far ahead, promotes a muscular Christianity that believes that the Bible is for all people and the laws of the Bible. We'll get into that in a minute. They don't believe that at all. You can bet your bottom dollar on that one. Let me give you a couple of verses out of Jeremiah, friend. Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. It is imperative, brother and sister, it is imperative that you know whether or not when someone claims light, whether or not they've really got any light at all. And the only way to do that is by the Bible. Jeremiah 38. Then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malachiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, but he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for prey, and shall live. Jeremiah was preaching to them, saying, You're not supposed to keep fighting for your liberty. You're not supposed to keep fighting for your independence, because this thing that's about to happen is of God. And if you'll submit to it, I'll bring you back. And I'll take care of you. But you see, the idol of America, the idol of both lost and saved America, is liberty. Liberty, liberty, liberty. Independence, independence, independence. Well, there's just one problem with that. That's not the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray? Absolutely. But we're supposed to be involved in preaching the gospel and praying and living right. Listen, look what he says, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. They want to shut up Jeremiah and put him to death for his message. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city. See, if Bible preaching took root, these talking heads would be out of business. Oh, not because people wouldn't be busy about something. They'd just be busy about something completely different. Instead of rattling off their mouth all the times and having everybody call in to give their personal opinion, instead of claiming light, law, and liberty, these fellows would come up way short. They would come up way short. And the reason they'd come up short is because of what he says here. Look at verse 4. The hands of all the people, look at the end of verse 4, in speaking such words unto them, now watch, for this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Well, that's a bold-faced, blatant, satanic, Luciferian lie. The person who was seeking the welfare of the people was Jeremiah. But these hundreds of prophets, represented by these guys, got Zedekiah, verse 5, said, oh, he's in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. They had the power beyond their rights. Listen, because you have the power to put something on radio or television or internet doesn't mean you have a right. You could say the same thing about me. You could do that if you want. Just open your Bible and compare it. I'll be happy for you to take and judge everything I'm telling you by your Bible. But if you don't have it open, don't tell me you are judging it by your Bible. If you don't go look up the verses, and if you don't pray over them, don't tell me you're being judged by your judgment by your Bible. Listen, here's what he said in Jeremiah 11, verse 9. The Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers. Do you know that all this stuff, listen, they don't know the Scriptures. These people that claim light, they don't know the Scriptures. Let me give you an example. Moses' law was never for any other nation but the children of Israel. In application to 2010, in application to the church age, the time of Christ to now, 2,000 years, the law of Moses is good. The law of Moses guides it. The governments have gleaned from it, but no Gentile nation was ever given those laws. Why? Because it will only work if it's applied in compliance with Exodus chapter 20. Now, isn't it an amazing thing that you'll hear a lot of stuff about Exodus chapter 20 and about applying the law? One of these guys makes this big deal out of the law of the Old Testament is law, and so all law should reflect that law. Really? Well, then maybe you need to get on your radio, and you need to get on your internet, and you need to get on your little books you're selling, and here's what you need to tell everybody. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number one, you should make a law, friend, a law. Now, I don't believe you ought to. But according to your logic, Mr. Light, you should make a law. And that law should be, you can't have any other God but the God of the Bible. So you'd have to legislate the one God of the Old Testament and the three in one of the New Testament. And you know better. You know that God Almighty never told anybody to do that. You also know that you're not going to do that. Paul never, ever, ever wrote a law. He never lobbied for a law. He never protested a law. He even said, if I've done anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. Moses' law was for a people. What people? Exodus 19. Exodus 19, verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. A holy nation. Now, if you don't have a King James Bible, I really hope you'll get one, because you don't have the Word of God. And if that doth offend thee, then maybe you should at least check out what I'm trying to say to you. Because your King James Bible gives you some great truths. All the way from Exodus 19 to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, ready, and holy nation. God's law is for a people. It's for a holy nation led by God. Now, do people benefit with good laws? Absolutely. Well, I mean, we know that. But did God ever intend for a nation to claim that they were being governed by the Old Testament law? No, but he did intend his people to. Listen, people benefit with good laws. They do. But these folk who claim light, let me tell you, you want to find them? You just turn to the Gospels and you read about the Pharisees. These people have a standard for themselves, listen, but they don't have a standard that matches somebody else. They have their Bible so messed up because they trust in themselves. Let me give you an example. They are big against abortion. Well, that's good. They're big against same-gender marriages. They have stooped to the world and keep calling it same-sex marriages. It's a gender. But have you noticed they don't believe in any laws, to where if you're caught committing adultery, you go out and get stoned, somebody kills you? Make it anything. Make it lethal injection, make it electric chair, make it hanging. Have you noticed that they don't say that a back-talking teen ought to be killed? Have you noticed that they don't teach, as it does in Exodus 22, that fornication ought to have its repercussions and that there ought to be strict rules against it? Because in reality, they don't believe that the laws of the Bible could ever become the laws of a nation at large. Listen, Exodus 22 says, if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. You tell me where that's going on today. Why, if they tried to make that sort of law, it would turn many of these young ladies into prostitutes and harlots on behalf of their own dads. You see, they're very selective. They're very selective. They play on the conservative, carnal Christian while using very carnal music for their intros and things. Let me say this to you. If you claim to have light, you'd have light about your music. You'd have some light. Goodness gracious, some light about music. But they don't have light. What they have is a love for talk. And so their subject matters and their misuse of Scripture reveal it. That is not light. To cut and paste your Bible and then find which Bible says what you want to say, that is not light. So, first, they claim light. Secondly, they criticize for the listener's sake. They criticize things and they choose whom they criticize for the listener's sake. Now, they're very good at a little sleight of hand. They'll pretend to criticize even their own a little bit. Why, listen, when they were putting through the so-called Federal Reserve System, the people who helped write it, two of the men who helped write it, went across America campaigning against it so the people would think that it was good and it was against the banks. And so they purposely went out and did it so that people would tell their representatives vote for it. Come on, that's the easiest thing. That's easier to spot than the shell game. Jeremiah 38, verse 4. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. Let him be put to death. Why? Because what drives conservative Christians is criticizing somebody else. So they criticize for the listener's sake. Why? Because it enthrones the individual's opinion. They can't teach Scripture. They don't even know it. But they can critique, and they even critique the Scriptures. Let me give you an example. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations. But some of these guys have built a whole ministry on casting down arguments, New King James Version. How about that? Or, ready for this? This is their big one. NIV, demolishing arguments. Demolish arguments. That's not what it's about. It's about you as a believer, 2 Corinthians 10:5, dealing with imaginations in your mind so that you don't get off track like these guys. These characters think that it's their calling in life to demolish arguments. So wrong translations made for money and for readers, listeners, leads to more deception, and that's what they use, and that's what they're all about. Listen, these talking heads put themselves and other talkers, they put them in the place of preachers and pastors and Bible teachers, just like Jeremiah's day. In fact, they come across as if only we could get the pastors to stand up and speak out and get off track and get off base. Listen, if it wasn't wise for the apostles to leave prayer and the Word of God, the ministry of the Word, so they could go serve tables, it's 100 times more foolish for someone to give their pulpit up to something like these guys are doing. One of the reasons we go to the trouble to take this time and warn is because of what they're doing. And they'll say the same things, and people will do the same things as they did to Jeremiah and to his followers. Now, their subject matter is based on American people pulling things out of context as if America is in your Bible. Well, there's some hints at it, but it isn't what they're trying to make it to be. God's people are God's people. The book of Jude warns against this kind of stuff. The very last book that God slips right in there for us, give us some insight before the book of Revelation. He uses Jude to warn. And when he does, he says in the book of Jude, verse 8 through 10, "Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee." If they interviewed Michael, they'd get all over Michael, saying he wasn't bold enough. These guys are so outrageously arrogant that they decide what they want to hear from any given person in public office. They decide, well, what I'd really like to hear, who are you, friend? Who in the world are you? Verse 10, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. And they've gone after the way, have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Gainsaying is criticism, tearing things apart. They'll critique anyone, anytime, because that empowers their listener base. It pays their lunch. It keeps them on the radio. Now listen, Laodicea is no doubt here, the rights of the people. They give people what they want, so they criticize for their listener's sake. I just give you three little statements. They practice, through their criticism for their listener's sake, they practice enthronement of self-intuition. It's all about predicting what the guy's going to say next. Listen, if you read your Bible, you can figure out what gaffe they're going to come up with next. You know what's amazing? I'm just going to throw this in. It's not even part of the lesson, but I'm going to throw this in. Not one of them is openly saying, if he has a hint, he ain't saying it. So I wonder if they have any light at all. Not one of them is letting you know what's really happening. They pretend it's all about ideology and da-da-da-da-da and this and that. And everybody knows it's not. If you've got a lick of sense and you've read your Bible, you know it's not. It's about money. It's about control. It's about taking those who do not have the power of money and the power of this and that and putting them in a situation where they can either get rid of them or diminish them or put them in servitude and sterilize them. It's really simple. It's been from cover to cover of your Bible. Secondly, they not only give people enthronement of self-intuition, they give them empowerment to self-interpretation. They want you to interpret your Bible yourself, even though it's of no private interpretation. They want you to interpret life and laws and liberty and the pursuit of godly happiness. Well, they got to throw that in there because they know that that stuff's humanistic, has been from the beginning. At the very most, it was deistic. And I'm thankful for this country. I'm thankful for the missionary work and thankful for the gospel. But let's not kid ourselves. And then entertainment through self-interaction. What they do is they entertain one another. And they are entertainment for these people. And one of them occasionally will slip up and say that. But the problem is God's people, supposedly God's people, professing Christians, they take that thing seriously many times. So they claim light and they criticize for their listener's sake. And then, thirdly, they convince by their logic of liberty. Now, their convincing isn't of God's people as such, those who read their Bibles, but the way they convince is by their supposed logic of liberty, and that's like this. They start with a faulty premise, and here's the faulty premise, brother, sister, that God's will for us is liberty. That God's will for us is liberty. That because you were born in America, His will is liberty. There's just one problem. The liberty they speak of is not scriptural. In fact, your Bible teaches it the opposite. Simon Peter in John 21 had to learn the lesson of surrendering his liberty. And the problem you have today is nobody in America is willing to do that. They're scared to death that we're going to have to go through what other countries have gone through. The Bible says he came to save his people from their sins, not in their sins. And so it's God's people that are you can almost say, trying to hold God hostage. Where are now your prophets, which prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? You know what Jeremiah is telling him? He's saying, all that stuff you told me I was lying about, all that stuff you put me in prison for, well, how about that? What's going on now? Let me give you this, Jeremiah 34, write this down, verse 8, starting verse 8. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord after that the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant, every man his maidservant, being in Hebrew and a Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew his brother. But what they did, verse 11, afterward they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids whom they let go free to return. I'm not talking about slavery, but he is talking about they either bought them as, or they owed something, and so it was an indentured thing. And here's the deal. These people, listen, these people, they don't want to grant real liberty. Because the more a person follows God, the less liberty they exercise and exhibit and exhort. It's a narrow way. He said, be ye holy. Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Wrong premise, wrong outcome. Wrong premise, wrong practice. A classic example is what we're looking at in Jeremiah's day. He told Zedekiah, submit to the captivity. Long and short of it is, Zedekiah fought. He lost. They took him away. They killed his sons in front of his eyes, and they put his eyes out. The last thing he ever saw was a murdering, butchering his sons. And he was defeated. You know what happened to Jeremiah? He survived. He preached on. Oh, they shut him up in a prison. They lied about him. They threatened him. But it came to pass. And you know what's about to happen? Believers are about to experience a horrible thing. They're about to get it. They want to silence Jeremiah, but what they should have done was they should have shut their own mouths and listened. In Jeremiah chapter 34 there, verse 17, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened to me in proclaiming liberty, everyone to his brother. Now, let me say this to you. They don't really believe that. Do you know how you know that? Because they still hold to that ridiculous doctrine that anybody that's poor, it's their fault. That is not Bible. That is not even scriptural. That doesn't mean that everybody that's poor, that it's none of their fault. That doesn't mean, so you can't turn the two statements around. Do you know in your Bible, he told them that they were not to harvest the corner of their fields? Why, can you imagine? That's a law, by the way, in your Bible. It's a law in the Old Testament. You do not harvest the corner of your fields. You leave it for those who are in poverty or are hurting for whatever reason so that they can go out and have that food. Well, they don't believe that. They don't believe you should pass a law. Oh, you should just leave it to us. Oh, but we need these other laws. Got to have these laws. Got to send the faxes. Got to burn the lines up. Got to make a statement. Got to kick them out of office if they don't do what we want. But the problem is, Jeremiah nailed the thing right on the head and drove it home. Jeremiah 38, write it down. Jeremiah 38. Not only did they want to silence him, but here's what they did. Zedekiah calls for Jeremiah in Jeremiah 38, and Jeremiah gives him the scoop, wide open, tells him honestly. And verse 24, then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. Well, listen, over in verse 16, he said, tell me everything you know. And he said, I promise you, you won't die. But now, he said, don't tell anyone what it really teaches. Don't tell about this apostasy. Don't you do it. So what do? They say, well, he doesn't seek the welfare of the people. He's not being positive enough. They attack his motive. You see, they have the reverse. They are not conservatives. They are carnal. They are carnal. And their logic of liberty is against the Bible, because the Bible doesn't teach the kind of liberty. And while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Your Bible doesn't promise it. And I don't care if you're ready to pull your hair out or mine. You have to pull your own out. You ain't going to pull mine out. I don't care. I'm telling you, the Bible says, just like Jeremiah says, just like Jude says, just like Timothy, his letter to Timothy says, just like Simon Peter says, just like the Lord Jesus Christ said, just like the book of Revelation says, just like Jude says, that it all ends in apostasy. Every age, every cycle ends in apostasy. And America is just a country. That's all it is. God has used it. God has blessed it. But it is not a holy nation. But it never was. God's people are the only holy nation in either testament. So, they claim light. They criticize for their listeners' sake. They convince by their logic of liberty. And then number four, they counterfeit the Lord's voice. Now, we've read numerous passages here where that's what they're doing. Jeremiah 14:14, Jeremiah 27:14-17. We've read these passages. And these guys, what they're doing is they are counterfeiting the Lord's voice. They're counterfeiting it. Listen, your voice joined to a million voices does not become God's voice. I don't care if you join it to 20 million. I don't care if you want to take a poll and say we've turned it around in public opinion. It doesn't matter. It means not a thing to God Almighty. In Jeremiah 27:14, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy lying to you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Also I spake to the priests and all this people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy lying to you. Hearken not unto them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? You say, I am telling you this. Listen. American Christians are supposed to submit. And in submitting, preach the gospel, show the right spirit, and see the Holy Spirit fall upon the believers so that they can witness. If they be prophets, if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and the house of the king of Judah and Jerusalem go not to Babylon. Do you know why he said it? Because they're going. They're going, they're going, and they're going. It's going to happen. It did happen. And in the same way that Jeremiah was spot on, he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. 23:16, if you'll listen to this stuff, these talking heads and their followers and their commenters, they're vain. They believe in themselves. They believe in their opinions. They get so-called empowered that they honestly have become vain. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. And so there's no Holy Spirit witness. It's just plain old counterfeit. This family stuff, for example, you know what they're pushing? All this family radio stuff and these programs that are focused on the family. They're pushing this contemporary Christian music and promoting it, and especially the teen performers. What better way to deceive a professing Christian? They've watered it down now, and they describe themselves as upholding the Judeo-Christian ethic. And believers go around swearing by these people. Well, listen, the Lord's voice is so different from them. It'd be like the difference between putting rocks in a pan and shaking it and God actually speaking. That's how contrasting difference there is. Listen, the Lord's voice deals with His people. The Lord's voice directs them into submission while they go out and preach everywhere. They still submit to the circumstances. And the Lord's voice denies personal rights and lifts Him up, lifts the Lord up. You say, well, what counterfeits are they pushing? Well, they're pushing this so-called Christian music, and it's worse than that. Why, a bunch of them, for their themes and stuff, it's not even Christian music. And you can tell it's not if you've been around for a while before you got saved. But you know what they're saying? They're saying, we have light. Listen, we have light, and we have listeners, so it must be okay if we use it. And why don't you use it? Why don't you enjoy it? Secondly, what counterfeits are they pushing? They're pushing the idea of critiquing what you don't agree with. It divides churches and it promotes false Bibles and it's creating a whole so-called movement itself because it brings in millions and millions of dollars. Thirdly, they're convincing by logic that a piece of paper outside of Scripture, for example, the Constitution, is the real issue. And it's not the real issue. It ain't the real issue, never been the real issue. They counterfeit the Lord's voice by claiming that God's people have rights, liberties, and should legislate. And you can't find that anywhere in your Bible. Why? God's people have had to either submit, or when they don't, they live by the results. You say, what is the solution? I thought you'd never ask. What is the solution? I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to give you an illustration first. You try something. You turn it off and don't listen to it for 3 weeks. Read your Bible, listen to Bible preaching and teaching. You try it and tell me if you don't have the symptoms of an addict. And tell me if your flesh won't rise up in some other way. See, it was Jeremiah versus the multitude of talking heads, if you read the book of Jeremiah. It was Micaiah and Ahab's talking heads. It's the Scriptures versus the modern talking heads. They cover up the truth with lies. They pretend victories. They pretend that there are victories. This guy, listen, in chapter 27, they go around pretending that there are victories when there aren't. And you and I need to realize that because of that, people are being led astray. They're false prophets. The solution? Cut off their influence. That's the solution. Say, what if I don't cut it off? That's my last point, number 5. They conquer the Lord's people. They conquer them. In Jeremiah 23, I've already read it to you, verse 21 and 22, he said if they preached the truth, they would have turned these people away because they had so much influence. These people are going to stand before God someday, and you do whatever you want, friend. They won't stand before me. You're absolutely right. They won't stand before my little audio file. You're absolutely right. They'll stand before something 1,000 times more scary, more terrifying. They'll stand before the Holy Book of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and God's judgment bar about their influence. And you will too. Let me tell you something. Some of you are influencing Christians, and you're influencing yourself to the tune of 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 hours a week, fooling around with this stuff and emails and all this stuff that they try to get you to do and all this stuff. And you know what it's happening? It's conquering you. They're taking away your crown. Zedekiah lost everything. He lost the crown, listening to the false talking heads. He lost the crown. Read it. I didn't write Jeremiah. I'm not spinning Jeremiah. I'm not doing any of that thing. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken. And he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Jeremiah 38, verse 28. He was imprisoned for obeying and teaching the truth, but he survived and they didn't. You know what else they're doing? They're not just taking your crown, but they're birthing children of disobedience. They are teaching a disobedient spirit, and they wonder why. They wonder why what's happening is happening in churches and stuff. They conquer the Lord's people. They conquer them. You know, God wants God's people to be victorious spiritually. And in the church age, for the last 2,000 years, it's had nothing to do with any governmental blessing. In fact, when they were persecuted, the Word of God multiplied. It multiplied. When God's people have had to deal with uncomfortable environments, which is all this is really about, folks, it's about money. It's about going to a doctor. It's about liberty. It's about lifestyle. None of it. None of it. Not one word anywhere. Hours and hours a week is about preaching the gospel. Because they have the liberty to do that, but they're not doing it. You know why? Some of them aren't saved. But the ones who are saved, they couldn't care less about that, because they couldn't preach their way out of a wet paper sack. And so they couldn't get anybody to pay them to get on there and talk. They're talking heads, and they love to talk, and they get people to love to hear them talk and to talk back to them. And their strong influence conquers the Lord's people. The devil couldn't do it, so he got him some talking heads called prophets, false talkers. And those false talkers, they pervert the Bible. They claim they have light. They criticize for their listeners' sake. These guys convinced by the logic of liberty, unscripturally, they counterfeit the Lord's voice and they conquer the Lord's people. Now the solution is with you as an individual. Because only you can bring a solution, and that is cut it off. So why do you bother doing this? Because there might be a handful of people that would get delivered from it and get back on track. See, I don't have anything in it. I ain't got no money to make out of it. I don't have any prestige to make out of it. I don't have any name to get out of it. But if one or two people, if just one or two could get delivered, it'd be a lot better than them staying captive. Your Bible says, let no man take thy crown. You better be careful. You're going to lose your crown for how you think, what you're spending your time doing, where you put your money, where you put your emotions, what church you choose. You are. And if somehow I could help one person, it'd be worth it. I hope it's more than that. Father, I pray you take it and use it now in Jesus' name. Amen.